This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please leave your message after the tone.
Hi, my name is Mallory, and I'm sitting watching the news currently, and I noticed that every single news anchor has the same voice. They have the same tone. They have the same inflection, but I need to know why.
Hello?
Hi, Mallory. It's Flora from ELT.
Hi, Flora. How's it going?
Are you a TV news junkie?
Am I a TV news junkie? I do watch a lot of TV news, but not on TV, on YouTube.
Would you consider yourself like a 2020 and chill person?
You know what? Yeah. Sitting back with like a glass of wine in 2020, that sounds like a good night.
What kind of stories grab you? Are you like really into geopolitical affairs or crime or like a rabid boa constrictor found in a toilet kind of gal?
I would definitely click on that for sure. I have to know. I need to know.
Do you have any favorite news anchors?
Ooh, do I have any favorite anchors? Okay, so this isn't like a classic news, but I do really like the Silver Fox of Anderson Cooper.
Good evening. Facebook likes to say it was built to bring people together.
His voice is like really soothing. I like him a lot.
Yeah, so what about anchor voice? How did this question come to you?
Okay, so like I said, I watch news anchors from all over. I've also been watching the news since I was a kid. They all sound the same to me. It's as if they all have like grew up in the same town.
Yeah, okay, let's listen to some anchors from all over the country.
The Wisconsin Claims Board says a Milwaukee man who spent decades...
New Jersey pharmacies have received their...
To all active members in Oklahoma... The other
can Nevadans afford Nevada?
Location, San Francisco's Oddfellows Cemetery.
Mesmer is live at St. Pete headquarters. And
the West Virginia economy is gradually getting back on its feet.
Does that feel representative?
Yeah, their accents all sound the same. I've been to a lot of states and I've never heard this in the wild. It's only on the news. So it's obviously a thing.
Right.
So my question is, just how do we get here? Where does this voice come from?
Okay, the quick answer to where it came from is that this voice traces back to the accents of Midwestern white men in the 30s. But how we got here, how this voice became a model for anchors around the country, that's a much longer story. So I want to begin by bringing on an expert to break news voice down.
Well, you tell me when and I'll start the recording on my end.
This is Louisville linguist Dennis Preston. I asked him to say hello in his local parlance, but for linguists, even saying hello is a big old thing.
Remember, Louisville is just far enough north that we're inclined to say you all rather than y'all. So we're not quite far enough south to be in y'all territory. So I would say, you know, hi, how you all doing? But I'm sure you'll get Louisvillians calling up and saying, I never said anything like that in my life. Of course, they're likely to be 50 or 60 years younger than me. And by that time, they may have a brand new greeting. At any rate, hi, Mary, how y'all doing?
Hello.
So how we talk has been Dennis's love language since he was little.
Well, I was always interested in language because I grew up in a household that was both English-speaking and Hungarian-speaking.
And Dennis's dad was this flowery talker. He loved Southern turns of phrase.
So a lot of Southerners will not talk straight. Things are, you know, they're not just big. They're humongous, or they're big as all get out. So he was one of those metaphoric talkers. And I became aware of this when I went to other kids' houses and their parents just sounded kind of plain to me. And I was surprised at that because I thought, you know, that people would put a little spice in their talk.
That sounds really interesting, too, his house with his dad.
Did you grow up in a house with spicy talkers?
Oh, for sure. Yes, I'm from Baltimore. There's definitely a Baltimore accent. But then also, like, I'm also Black. So, you know, we speak in, like, AAB for sure. So, like, language is, I would say, quite beautiful in my house and then also in my family. Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Okay, let's get to the unspiced world of newscasters. You and Dennis are on the same channel when it comes to anchor speak. He says it's definitely a style of speaking. Linguists call it a register. It's like a performance.
It is a performance. And there are plenty of performance registers. So if you listen to evangelical preachers, you can almost say, oh, they all sound the same. If you listen to sergeants, drill instructors in the Army and the Marine Corps, you'll say, oh, they all sound the same. So news announcers all sound the same because they've got news announcer style.
And Dennis said a fundamental part of that style is hyper-articulation.
They articulate all of the sounds that are, in some sense or another, supposed to be there in that word, which, of course, makes them clearer and more understandable to a wide variety of people.
That makes so much sense. They're making sure that they hit every syllable. That makes so much sense so that people can understand exactly what they're saying.
Yeah, and here's an example.
Newscaster, every little thing. Me, every little thing.
That lil is pretty lil in the U version.
Well, I am a Southern speaker, unashamedly Southern speaker, and I do not have post-vocalic L's, and I certainly would not have a release T, little, which then had some kind of even teeny little vowel in between the T and the L. And when L comes in final position for me, it's vocalized. That is, it becomes vowel-like as it does all over the American South and increasingly in American English.
I love that. I love that so much. Also, he loves language.
I know.
Like, listening to someone love something is like, just, that's my thing. I love it.
So all of these funny little things that we do to make speech quicker and easier when we're being informal are not done by news announcers.
So the articulation isn't the only hyper thing about how anchors talk?
Well, the other thing is the pitch of newscasters goes much more dramatically up and down. The stressed syllables are louder, the high pitch is higher, and the low pitch is lower. And I'm doing some of it right now because I want to make my voice interesting and newscaster-like. On the other hand, I could just talk to you normally without a great deal of pitch variation, and pretty soon you'd go take a nap.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you can hear this when you listen to anchors. Here's NBC Nightly News host Lester Holt.
Good evening, everyone. Stalemate. That's how American officials describe the slow and deadly slog that the war in Ukraine has become.
Slow and deadly slog. He really, like, took his time on, like, those words. Yeah, there was some drama there for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so we hit hyperarticulation, we hit pitch modulation. What about the anchor accent? Why does it sound like all newscasters grew up in the same town, like you said?
Yeah.
So we put it to Dennis, and Dennis said, that's not quite right. Even the most seasoned anchors don't exactly go accent adieu. But if you're not a linguist, the differences can be very hard to hear. Here's an example.
There's a really important off-on border that runs right across the north of Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois. If you're like me, if you're from south of that border, then the two words off and on have the same vowel. But if you're from north of that border, then you have off and on with two completely different vowels. But it's not public knowledge. So it's possible for northern and southern newscasters to go on saying off and on if they're from the north and off and on if they're from the south, and nobody notices.
That was really subtle.
Yeah. Let's hear it again.
Off and on, off and on.
Even knowing that he's going to have those two words off and on, like, sound slightly different, it's, you'd have to really be listening for it.
So anchors might have accents, but they're way toned down.
There's going to be less regional distinctiveness in their voice. So many parts of the South, people can say things like, I may can go, I will should go.
Yeah, I'd say I'ma go.
I'm a speaker of might could go. And ought to, I can say ought to should. or a pronunciation of time, like time, which immediately identifies you as a Southerner.
So there's a word for these obvious language tells. Dennis called them indexers.
So that when you use language, there are pieces of it, either pronunciation, a word, a grammar, or any piece of that language, which indexes something. That is, it points to something else rather than just its meaning. It's pointing to what region you're from. It points to what mood you're in. It points to whether you're being fancy or plain.
Indexers can point to your class, your education level, your ethnicity, but they can also point to what clique someone was a part of in high school. They're the parts of speech that signal identity, who you are and where you're from.
You know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of code switching. Like, you talk a different way with certain groups of people than you would. You know, like, if I'm with my grandmother, I might talk differently than if I'm being more relaxed with, like, my friends, you know?
Right. How would you talk with your grandmother?
Oh, okay. So with my grandmother, it was really big to do a lot of, like, ma'ams, and there's no yes, right? So it's like, yes, ma'am. Also, like, if she asked me a question, then I would never, ever, ever say yeah to her. That's, like, considered so disrespectful. So, you know, if you say yeah, it's like everybody in the room will be looking at you like, are you crazy? And then you just, like, immediately correct it. So yeah, it's taught at home and then reinforced by everybody.
By withering glances from all of your family members.
Exactly. For sure. For sure.
So, okay. So those indexers, like, point to all these things about you, and anchor style mutes a lot of these indexers. Linguists told us that's a key of anchor speak. The lack of regional indexers, working class indexers, or really any spice in your talk.
Okay. It makes perfect sense. It's the news anchor voice. It sounds very uptight. It somehow sounds uptight with still having a lot of hills and valleys. There's nothing that sounds relaxed. They don't use those things that you would use with someone who you are relaxed with. They're with their grandmas all the time.
Yeah.
It's defined by the absence of things we would notice otherwise. And we want to make sure that people listening to us don't notice things.
This is sociolinguist Valerie Friedland. And Valerie also said hello to you in a very linguisty way.
Hi, Mallory. I love anybody who has an Allery in their name as someone named Valerie. So nice to meet you, Mallory.
Nice to meet you, too. Yay, Alleries.
So Valerie's going to help us tackle another part of your question. Where did this speech style come from?
The interesting thing about that is newscaster register has really changed from the 20th century through the 21st.
Anchor speak was born before TV existed. Back in the early 1900s, you would hear news announcers in the movie theater, in the newsreels that played before the show.
And along the piers, an endless chain of these young recruits march into transports, thousands of them and millions more to follow.
This is Anchor Voice 1.0.
Yeah, it's what I would call like an old-timey voice. It's a little bit more like flowery.
Yes, it sounded kind of British to most American ears, but to most Brits, sounds very American.
Lookouts, submarines, gun crews stand by, ready for action. A torpedo is sighted heading for...
So the accent is called the Mid-Atlantic or Transatlantic accent.
Oh, a Mid-Atlantic accent. I went to school for theater, so that is an accent that we sort of learned in the beginning.
Yes, it was employed by the Hollywood types.
Katharine Hepburn is a good example.
He and I used to swing by our knees and spit at each other. I'm happy to say now I rarely missed.
That's it. I was actually thinking of, I just recently watched Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And yeah, so it's her. And then also Sidney Poitier is sort of doing it too.
Yeah, and there are layers to this because Sidney Poitier was the son of Bahamian immigrants. And he was initially refused a spot in an African-American theater company because of his accent. So he changed it by listening to people on the radio.
It's not just that our color difference doesn't matter to her. It's that she doesn't seem to think there is any difference.
This was trained into people, right? You had elocution teachers to teach you this. And it came across as very cultivated, very educated, and the type of thing that people wanted to hear from newscasters, from actors, from politicians.
Okay.
So early Anka speak is transatlantic, but it didn't last. By the 1940s, the transatlantic accent starts to set sail, and newsmen, and they were mostly men, lean into a different accent.
Hello, America. This is Edward Murrow speaking from London.
Britishism sort of fell out of favor, particularly after World War II, when American spirit and nationalism became very strong. Being more like the British was not as good as it had been, and now we wanted to be American.
Any time since the war began. Anti-aircraft guns were in action along the southeast coast today.
It's starting to sound less like that, like, upper crust, like, old-timey sort of movie sound.
Yes, newsmen are saying anchors away with the old-timey voice and moving towards something else, an accent that was described by a linguist from the Midwest working around this time.
It was first written about by George Crapp in a, which, yes, no humor about his name.
It's Crapp with a K, like in Keister, not a C like colon or caca. Crapp described how Midwesterners and Westerners talked, and he gave this accent a name, General American. And the name implies it's America's default speech.
The reality is none of this is true, that it was the way the majority of Americans were speaking. This was white men in the 30s and 40s describing the people they spoke to. And so it's older white males that they spoke to the most. So unfortunately, it's kind of a misnomer because while they called it General American, it didn't describe a lot of the sort of rural dialects that were prevalent. It didn't describe the some of the women's features that might have been more prevalent. It certainly didn't describe the working class features that the majority of Americans probably actually spoke with. It described middle class white male norms.
I mean, it sounds kind of like that's just the way, right? Like, that's how it is for a lot of stuff. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So it wasn't General American. It was General Midwestern White Man. And from Crapp, General American marches on to an influential pronunciation guide.
It was picked up by a linguist named John Kenyon in his book called American Pronunciation.
Kenyon is also from the Midwest, Ohio, and his work gets used to create one of the first news anchor pronunciation guides, the NBC Handbook of Pronunciation. The first edition came out in the 1940s, and it saluted General American as the way newscasters should speak.
It's also been referred to, once it got picked up by newscasters, as broadcast English or network English. And it's sort of that sound like you're from nowhere speech that Mallory was talking about.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York on this, the first broadcast of network television's first daily half-hour news program.
By the 1960s, this accent is all over the news, and that NBC guide has become the standard bearer for news anchors. It's been revised a number of times. People still cite it today.
And that is one of the reasons why everybody that does national broadcast news sounds like they've gone to the same school or read the same book, because they actually pretty much have.
Yep, that's it. Yeah, that makes sense. And then also it shows too why it sounds so strange, because it's the sound of white men from the 1930s.
Right. So that sound of Midwestern white man English was codified. News anchors followed that standard, which then reinforced it.
They start to be what we expect newscasters to sound like. So they define the speech style, and then it becomes harder for people without that speech style to break into that area.
Mm. Yep. I'm like, here we go. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of making a club of a certain type of person. And then if that certain type of person doesn't fit in, then they don't even have the chance to have the opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. And that brings us to our next source on the news anchor voice trail.
Being Black, I just always felt like my accent wasn't accepted in the news industry. So a lot of Black reporters and Black broadcast journalists will tell you, we feel like we have to talk white.
That's TV reporter Dion Broxton, and we're going to hear more from him after the break.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Today Healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
At the UPS Store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I want to introduce you to Dan Broxton. Dan started his TV reporting career at an NBC affiliate in Montana. From there, he moved to Iowa, and now he's working at KMOV in St. Louis. And he's from Baltimore, too. Do you have us any special Baltimore greeting?
To have a special Baltimore greeting? This sounds so bad. Hey, what's up, dummy? We call people dummy, but like...
He said the same thing.
We would call them dummy. Like, what's up, dummy?
I love that. It's a term of endearment. It's like what you say to your friends. I would not say this to my grandma.
So Dion was in college when he figured out what he wanted to do for a living.
The tipping point was the Freddie Gray protests and riots were going on during my senior year of college when I was taking news reporting class. So I went to the protest just to kind of see history happen. And I'll never forget, CNN, Fox News, these like national news outlets right here in my own home city covering this event. And I was just mesmerized. And that's when I kind of got bit by the bug.
So Dion went to journalism school. And after he graduated, he started looking for a job. He sent out resumes and demo reels, but he couldn't get any bites.
I've probably applied upwards of 100 places, just a bunch of small markets around the country trying to get hired. And I mean, nothing.
Dion was told he needed to work on something. His anchor voice.
I constantly had news directors telling me that my accent was too strong and I needed to hire a speech pathologist.
Your accent is too strong. Was that coded language?
I interpret it as it's so strong that when people watch me, they will be distracted by it.
Do you think it was about blackness or about Baltimoreness?
I think it was a mix of the two. You know, my family is from South Carolina. So I think I have a mix of a northerner slash southern drawl. So I think that was it. And I think there's a difference between accent and grammar. But when it comes to accent, that's where it gets, where I think it bleeds into like racism and favoritism, things like that.
I feel bad. The fact that that people are still able to talk to him that way, I guess, is just without even knowing the implications of what they're saying. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little knife. A lot of little knives, I guess. I feel like there's a part of sort of just like growing up in this country where you almost just sort of accept that, okay, that's what they said, and it's coded. We know it's coded. Like, just move on and, like, figure out what you're going to do with it.
I mean, I use the word accepted loosely, but this is just a white world, and Black people just have to navigate around it. Mm. In my mind, is I want to be a broadcast journalist, so whatever it takes, I'm willing to do. you got to get a seat at the table to in order to change the table. Whatever way it takes to like infiltrate the system, that's what you have to do to change the system. This is a white world and you got to figure out ways to survive and get ahead.
Like you said, you just figure it out. You know, you figure it out for yourself, and that's what he's doing.
So Dion hired a speech pathologist he met at a journalism conference, and they worked together once a week for 4 months. And this was intricate, hard work.
She identified words that I struggled with, like virus, royalty, you know, arrival, rival. And I would just like repeat those words, you know, go through. It was kind of like elementary school, A-E-I-O-U, you know, doing little simple things like that and really emphasizing it, you know, mouth exercise. I would put like a pencil in my mouth and spin the pencil in a circle to develop the muscles in my mouth. She taught me how to open my mouth, where to place my tongue. So I know when I say T-H-E, my tongue is touching the top of my mouth and touching the back of my teeth. I mean, it was very in-depth things that taught me a lot. And I just dedicated myself to learning about it. I practiced every single day. I just kept doing it over and over. I'm sure my mom heard me in the basement practicing. I would just like read books out loud, and people would tell me just drive down the street, and while you're driving, just talk to yourself. And you know, I'm driving down Broadway and I'm seeing a McDonald's to my left. Literally just keep talking and talking and talking and incorporate that training that I had. I was really determined. And when I finished my speech training, I sent out my new demo reel and I had 3 job interviews in 1 week.
Wow. He did it. He did the work.
Yeah, he got his first job, but just took hundreds of hours of work and thousands of dollars.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, if we're working towards whiteness, right? And so he talked about how like he's from Baltimore. Also, I want to say that like the way that he pronounces his U's due to things like that, it's so beautiful. It sounds like home to me. Mm. Like, I do want to point that out. But like, he talked about also like his family being from South Carolina. Mine is too, actually. So yeah, like he is just starting from a different place than, you know, somebody who is white, grew up around whiteness. It's sort of just like in the way that they speak, that group is just ingrained in you. So that's a lot of work just like taking that away.
Yeah. And like that you have to take that away.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. It's just unfair. It's just, that's really, really just unfair that he had to. It's like not an option. For the thing that he wanted to do, it wasn't an option to not do it. That's bogus. So we know like where it comes from. I mean, I guess the big question is like, where are we going with this? Like, where is this voice going?
Yeah. Dion says he has noticed a shift happening in some markets, that there's at least lip service being paid to moving away from traditional anchor speak.
You talk to news directors and people who are responsible for hiring anchors and reporters today, they want you to sound as conversational as possible. So that's what news directors tell us, you know, be your authentic self. You always want to feel like when they see you on TV, you're being yourself, but it's so far from the truth. Now I feel like I'm getting there, but it's so far from the truth. You talk about authenticity, but then I couldn't get hired for being my true self. It's contradictory.
Mm-hmm. When he said that, my first thought was, okay, so what does conversational mean to them? Like, there's like true conversational, and then there is just like, this is just a different version of the same thing.
Right, like general Midwestern white man. Backyard barbecue edition.
And then also, whenever I hear someone who sounds different, like they're moving away from that news anchor voice, I will notice it and then I'll be like, go you. You're doing it.
So the voice feels like it's one thing. It's changed over time and it's changing still.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other facets to anchor style. Like, you called about voice, but it's not just how you sound, it's also how you look.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah. It can be so bad, Flora. Like, it can be so bad for people who don't look like, just like, I don't know, regular white people, so.
Yeah. And we got an eyewitness account that I really want to share with you. Here's a little preview.
It was like, hey, you need to lose 40 pounds. And maybe, you know, if you're size, you know, 6 or 8 or 10, maybe, you know, you can get a job in this market. And for years, you need to take off your glasses, Sia. Or, you know what? Your hair, you need to get a wig. You need to get a weave. You need to, I mean, it was always something appearance related.
We're going to hear more from reporter and anchor Sia New Yorker on our next installment of News Anchors. How did that happen?
I'm so glad that you're answering my question. I'm so excited about that.
That's the next episode in the feed.
This episode was produced by Jahi Whitehead, Kayla Stokes, Hadley Robinson, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Doug Barron. Our editors were Jorge Just, Caitlin Kenny, and Anoa Changa. Nicole Basulka is our fact checker. Scored by Dara Hirsch, Bobby Lord, and Emma Munger. Mixed by Dara Hirsch. Thanks to Lisa Robinson. Every Little Thing is a Gimlet production and a Spotify original podcast. This is not a performance register. Goodbye.